This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your morning mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. Julian Resnick, a very, very good morning to you. And how are you?
Hi. Good morning, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess it's not even, it's not a fair question to even ask.
To continue saying it.
Yeah, because the last few days have just been one, I suppose, gut wrench, punch in the gut to the next.
Yeah, over and over again. Just when we thought that we had sorted out the fact that we would be in mourning this morning for Shiri and the children, we now find that we have another hurdle to negotiate, another. You know, it's funny, you know, we've gotten to know each other a little bit over the last year and a bit, and you know that I am still totally committed to my vision of what it means to be a good human being and what it means to live a life according to values of decency and sort of the Jewish values that I was brought up with.
Yes.
And it becomes increasingly difficult to hold on to that. It becomes increasingly difficult to hold on to one's humanity when all around, you know, acts of such inhuman, you know, evil happen. And it's, for me, I think, you know, that there's all types of pain, you know, in life living over here at the moment. But I think for me, ultimately, the real pain, Howard, is this question, how do we hold on to what has made us such a wonderful people? That for me is the big question, I have to admit. It's the one that is causing me so much pain at the moment.
Yeah, because I guess the question, and I put it to an earlier guest, if you had asked me a couple of years ago, just before October 7th, I would have said Palestinian right to self-determination is absolutely vital. I still believed until a short while ago that the vision of a two-state solution living side by side, and people told me I'm naive, I'm foolish, and maybe I have been, because when I saw the scenes yesterday and when I see when we hear what we don't hear, which is the enough of a dissent and people in the middle standing up on the Palestinian side, standing up against Hamas, I worry. I just wonder if people like you and people like me are maybe anachronisms.
So, you know, I think, you know, first of all, it's a hard question. I'm not going to pretend that I have I'm not one of these people, Howard, who says, these are my views, this is where I stand, this is what I've always believed in, this is what I'll always believe in. I have to admit that this is an incredibly tough time for all of us, and particularly for those of us who have, you know, spent our lives believing in and working, you know, for a solution which ends up being, you know, the best possible solution for the greatest number of people who live in this area, both Jews, Israelis, Palestinians, you know, Muslims, Christians, the whole thing. And it's not easy right now, but the question I ask myself is, so what is the alternative? Is the alternative us, you know, creating a situation in which we rule with an iron fist, understanding what that means? Is the alternative creating a situation in which Jewish people have rights over here and other people do not? You know, the problem in the situation is that there's not a great solution and a terrible solution. We are living in a reality of the most most complex situation imaginable, really most complex. You know, I was saying to a friend, I'm in Tel Aviv at the moment. A beautiful day in Tel Aviv, by the way, in spite of the weather warnings. And I'm looking out at this wonderful city that we created out of nothing. And I said to a friend this morning, I was in a meeting in Ramallah 20 years ago, and a very distinguished member of the Palestinian banking community turned around to me and said, "Julian, you are not our greatest worry. Our greatest worry is the Hamas, and they will return us to the Stone Age if they have the opportunity." And I think it's coming true what he said. It is a disaster for us, and it's a bigger disaster for the Palestinians. Because in the end, we are going to have to, as Israelis, take positions that will safeguard us. You know, yesterday, I took my two of my grandchildren. I go in the morning early to pick them up, to take them to preschool, to Gun. They're exactly the same age now as the Bieber's kids were when they were kidnapped. And I stand there with my two grandsons, and I think, you know, ultimately I'm committed to their safety. What am I going to have to do to keep them safe? At the same time, you know, I haven't lived for 70 years to end up becoming who they are. I don't want to end up becoming a monster. That is the complexity. You know, it's not as if we can stand from afar and look at the situation and say it's either good or bad. It is unbelievably complex. And, you know, what do we do? How do we know? Our safety is paramount. Looking after our kids and grandkids is paramount. And at the same time, what do we, you know, what future do we give them if we create a reality over here in which we have to rule with an iron fist in ways that I don't think is what Jewish culture and Jewish history intended us to become? That's the dilemma. And if there are no easy answers, you know, for somebody like me, I have to twist and turn at the moment. You know, you can hear me trying to hold on to certain values, and it's not easy. You know, and I say that each and every one of us has to, first of all, understand that we are responsible for our safety and security. And the second thing we have to understand is that this state was created so we could be something that we can be proud of. And the question at the moment is, how do we do that? And it's not simple. And anybody who says all you have to do is feeding you a line.
Yeah.
There is no all you have to do is. We are going to have to work through this terrible time, and it's not over yet. The pain is not over. Please God, it will come to, you know, that we'll come to some type of resolution sooner rather than later. But the work is going to be tough, and we need the whole Jewish people on board. But we need people on board in such a way as that we will all be able to work hard on this project together. And it's going to be complicated. And I don't think we can give up. You know, I didn't leave South Africa in 1976 to give up on my big dreams in 2025. You know, I can't do that, at least. You know, and my invitation, I suppose, ultimately is to Jews around the world to say, stay with us in the struggle. Don't go for the easy answers.
I don't think that's actually that's in question at all. I think the sleepless nights, Jews and friends of the Jews, many of our Christian listeners as well, sending in messages just of support, saying this what they've seen.
And a big thank you for me.
Absolutely.
A big thank you from us in Israel to our allies.
Well, in fact,
I'll
read you a message that I received this morning. Here's a message from a listener earlier this morning. As a Christian family, we stand four square behind Israel and condemn what is going on. The so-called ceremony, in inverted commas, that was put on by Hamas yesterday was disgusting and shameful. There are no words strong enough for what I felt and what I saw. These terrorists gawking at the handover of bodies. And that's from Mrs. J. Stern. And that is many of our listeners are not Jewish and very, very supportive of the of Israel. Can we talk about the terror attacks that were averted? What do we know?
So I have to admit that I know probably no more than you do, Howard. I woke up an hour and a half ago in Tel Aviv. I did what everybody does in Israel immediately as I went to my news feed. I saw a little bit more in addition to what I saw last night. Look, I think that, you know, we are approaching another difficult moment, as if we don't have enough. We're approaching Ramadan soon. There's clearly an instruction has gone out from Hamas to its cells in the West Bank. Do whatever you can to open another front or to increase the intensity of the front that has already been opened in the West Bank. And, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to have to do what we've done over all the years. We have to do everything we can do to try and prevent these happening. We were lucky. What can I say? You know, if the timers had been different on these bombs, God forbid what might have happened to us over here. But for every successful attack that has been carried out against us, 100 or hundreds have been foiled. That's not news. That's the reality that hasn't stopped. And it's why I think that over here, the question of finding an answer to the dilemma that we have, in which we are two peoples in a land that have not found a way to live with each other. We have to continue working on that issue. We have to. And by the way, I'm not naive. At no point are we going to be in a situation where we can say, we've solved it, we've worked it out, let's disband the IDF, we can all go home and dance the horror together. It's not going to happen. But I know nothing more than you do, honestly, in terms of the details behind the attempted bombings.
If you look at the attempted bombings and you look at the macabre display yesterday, you look at the celebration almost by Palestinian kids, whether they were forced to be there or not, we can't comment on, but there certainly was a very, very ugly display yesterday. Then we hear stories that the coffins were locked and they weren't given the right keys. There was propaganda inside. There was, and then finally we hear about the fact that a random anonymous body was placed in the coffin, not Shiri Bibas. At what point does Israel say, we simply are not dealing with people who have any moral baseline? So there shouldn't be a discussion around a ceasefire, around a solution. The only way forward is to eliminate Hamas. Once that is done and people of Gaza can be freed, maybe re-educated in terms of away from the terrible prejudice that they've suffered from, surely that is the way forward, no matter what we would like the alternative to be.
So, I mean, my answer to that would be the following. You know, there's people have said all types of things about the dealing with terrorists and the hostage deals and stuff like that. I think the real answer to your question is that we are dealing with them for one reason only at this point, is that we are dealing with them because of how badly we failed on the 7th of October. We're not dealing with them when we're not releasing prisoners for any other reason. We're releasing their murderous prisoners because of the fact that we have to get the people who are still being held captive home. That's it. We have to. In terms of what happens after that, in terms of the process of people are comparing it to the denazification process in Germany after the Second World War, I do think that we have to find a way to eliminate the Hamas military regime in Gaza. How we do that, I don't think anybody really knows, because if you remember, our political leadership over here for over a year has been saying we are a step away, we are a moment away from finally eliminating Hamas, and it hasn't happened. And I think that it was not only naive, but it was probably cynical for our leadership to say we are a step away from eliminating them. You know, if somebody could tell me how we do that, you know, maybe we would do it. But you do realize that the IDF is not going to carpet bomb Gaza. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. You know, even the people, I think, for the exception of one or two of our extremely right-wing politicians, everybody else realizes that that is not a possibility. So what do? You go in and do something that to save the hostages that are still there, and then deal with it. I think somebody said yesterday in Israel that the right order of doing things is, one, getting the rest of the hostages back, the live ones, and bringing for burial those who have been killed, and then you say, what do we do now to denazify, as it were, or the de-Hamasification of Gaza? That's the right order. The right order is not to go in now, destroy everything in Gaza. And what happens to those hostages that are still being held? They're Israeli citizens who we are responsible for. It's, you know, once again, it's not a good solution and a bad solution, or a good option and a bad option. It's, we have to bring them out. I will just say, I know that we have to end this, but I will say that Israel, I'll say this in a way that may be hard for some of your listeners, Israel will not survive the death of the remaining hostages in captivity. We won't survive it.
I hear it. We are going to leave it there, Julian Resnick. Lots of food for thought. I'd love yours. 061-895-1019. Reminder that we are in the next 3 minutes going to be closing entries into the My Fair Lady competition. If you do have an entry, if you do want to sing us a little bit of a song, send your WhatsApp voice note in now, because by the end of the news, we do have to close it so that the team can make some decisions.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.